I'm going to read the first 18 verses. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Christ is speaking. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might live, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep, and flees. And the wolf catches them, and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees, because he is a hireling, and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Now, this message I may have preached about a year ago. I can't remember. I am very much taken by the concept of the shepherd and the sheep. I just love the illustration. It's kind of like the potter and the clay, but the clay is an inanimate object, and the sheep are not. But I just love the concept of the shepherd and the sheep. And so we're going to look at Christ, our good shepherd. We're going to look at him in this capacity. And like I say, on several occasions, we've looked at this good shepherd. We looked at the Christ's unflinching love and care of the sheep. Well, let's look once more at it. And to exemplify or to highlight just how good a shepherd Christ is, I want us to note, consider the sheep in three aspects. In order to consider, to highlight, and exemplify his goodness towards us, if we are his people, let's look at the sheep in three aspects. The sheep in their natural state, the sheep in their restored state, and the sheep in their final state. And see if this does not apply to you and I. First of all, Christ. Let's look at his goodness as it appears to the sheep in their natural state. His great goodness to us in our fallen state, our guilty state, our vile condition. This is what I'm talking about in their natural state. We're born in sin. David said, "In sin my mother did conceive me," and that's every man. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, when they're born, fall short of the glory of God. What happened in Adam in the garden, and Eve, it plummeted the whole human race. Will, mind, body, soul, fell, depravity. But Christ, he unreservedly undertook the sheep's cause. He undertook the danger and their nature, regardless of the cost to himself, regardless of the requirement or the fatal judgment of God against sin for his sheep. None constrained Christ to become the sheep's surety, substitute, or propitiation. This he did willingly, freely, and with the forethought as the very Ancient of Days. He knew what he was getting into. You know, a lot of times we get into stuff, we don't know what we're getting into. And by the time we get into it, we're like, I didn't see this. I don't have the wisdom to handle this. But Christ, nothing. Not one thing ever caught him off guard. Man didn't fall and say, oh, now I got to come up with a scheme of salvation. No, before the foundation of the world, his love for his sheep in their current and their natural state, he underwent all this for them. Christ, he completely understood what this would do to him by way of suffering, bleeding, and death. He understood very well. Turn to Isaiah 53, which is what this chapter is about. Death, the success of Christ in saving and redeeming his people. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 3. He, that is the shepherd, Christ, is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows was he, and acquainted with grief. And we, the sheep, hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. In our natural state, we did not esteem him. But, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who's us all? You got to keep it in context. That's the sheep. This is how good he was to us in our natural fallen estate. Goodness, I'd say maximum goodness. But furthermore, Christ, he did and did not complain. Didn't complain once. Bearing all the shame and rudeness the cross could produce. And more than this, he would have to go after his lost sheep. For they seek not the shepherd. He would seek them, find them, and carry them to safety evermore. Luke chapter 15. I love this. Luke chapter 15. Verse 3 through 6. Luke chapter 15. Starting in verse 3. And Christ spake this parable unto them. And what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after? What goodness. What good. Go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. That's our natural condition. Lost. That's where we start. And that's as far as by ourselves we can go. We can't get it. We cannot find our way out of this web of sin and depravity and filth. And more, all this was by his predetermined counsel and the goodwill of him towards those most undeserving lambs, but nonetheless they were his lambs. And he's their shepherd. Goodness? Absolutely. Before we even spoke, communed or knew him, he was good to us. That's sovereign grace. That's free electing sovereign grace. But secondly, let's view God's goodness in Christ towards his sheep in their restored state. So now he's brought us to a saving knowledge of himself. Here we note such kindness and goodness and much grace for providing ample and rich provision to us. He could have just saved us and left us alone. But he didn't do that. He provides us ample and rich provision. Justice must be met. The law must be honored. And grace must be abounding. And yes, yes it is. In through our good shepherd. We shall not want, says the scriptures. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. Feeding and caring and loving and keeping them all the day long. Has he not? You look back. It's been rough. It's been rougher at times. Think about the Bible class. It's been difficult. But that's the life of the believer. It's the life of humans because of the fall. Some more, some less. But we have a good shepherd. We have a good shepherd. And we're restored now. He protects us and gives us rest. And makes sure that our food, the word of God, is growth worthy. He makes us to lie down beside still waters. Truly our cup overflows. You say, well, I don't have much. If you have Christ, you have all. Turn to Psalms 107. Psalms 107. Couldn't this be us in a nutshell? Psalms 107. Psalms 107 and verse 4. In our restored state, could this not be said of every one of us? Psalms 107 verse 4. They, us, the sheep, wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Time and time and time again, we cry. We are as helpless as a newborn indeed. He chastises us. He recalls us when we go astray, as we often do. He chastises us so that we know without a doubt and feel his undying love for them. And you children, and you'll realize this one day, maybe not now, but when you get older and you realize your mom scolded you or your dad scolded you or they put you in time out or they spanked you, but as you get older, you'll realize, you know, they were doing that because they loved me. It didn't seem like they did. They're trying to get it. No, they did it because they loved you. And so as we get older and we look back at all the things he's brought us through, we must say, he's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He will not only chasten us, he will recall us when we go astray, but he will fly to our defense. We just read it in this passage. He's not like the hireling who flees. We lay hold on him. So I'm not going to leave until you bless me. I've got nowhere else to go, nowhere else to turn. Often misunderstood by the brethren, by one another. We often misunderstand. We often have it seem like a careless attitude, but not him. Not the good shepherd. Never. Never. Turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Verse 11. Speaking of our, this is verse 10, the Lord God, which, you know, we know Christ is God. Verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Goodness? Definitely. Lastly, let us view our Lord's goodness to his sheep in their final state. Our final state. We're not going to be here forever, and that's a good thing. He has laid up for us his great promises, and they'll not fail. He says, one day we will be with him in glory, and we shall. That his promises, his word, is there's no error here, there's no fault here, there's no, we're the ones that are wayward. But if he says it, the good shepherd says it to his sheep, it shall be done. It was he that found us. It was he that died for us. It was he that will keep us. And therefore, we shall endure unto the end, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He gives us the Holy Spirit and reveals the things of Christ to him. I often wondered, and Bruce and I have talked years, you know, will we endure to the end? Because we like that scripture. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Am I going to be saved? Well, we'll get to that in the closing comments, but why doubt his goodness? Why doubt his goodness? 1 John chapter 3. This says it well. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This says it well. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, the sheep of his pasture. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Why? Because he's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. There's a better country prepared where no more trials, no more sorrow, no more pain, and no more tears, but total joy in our sovereign Redeemer. And he will be glorified in them, and the sheep will abide forever with the great and good shepherd. Revelation chapter 7. This is a foretaste of what we're looking at. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17. And verse 16, they'll hunger no more, they'll thirst no more, the sun light on them, nor the heat, because the sun is the sun, Christ is the sun, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. He's the good shepherd indeed. There's a great gulf that lies between us, and we will have to pass it. This is called death. Fearful. One man said he didn't fear dying so much as the process of dying. But he will be by our side to carry us over and into the kingdom prepared for us. He says he will not leave us nor forsake us. He's the good shepherd. So I ask you, and I have two thoughts here. If you know him as the good shepherd, let us love him. Let us honor him. Let us serve him. And let us walk by faith with him, loving one another and encouraging one another, confident in him and in his unerring word. This is what he's left us. A more sure word of prophecy than the apostles had, than the Old Testament brethren had. But I close with this, and how are we to know if we are one of his sheep? Well, that'd be something to think about. How do I know if I'm one of his sheep? There's two marks in our text. Two marks. Every sheep. The ear and the foot. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. Have you heard about the Good Shepherd? Have you heard the gospel of the free grace of God? Have you heard that you are nothing and less than nothing and vile and contemptible in and of yourself? Have you heard that he says, look and live. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Have you heard that? If you've heard that, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. They follow me where I'm at, where I'm preached, because he's not preached everywhere. Matter of fact, not a whole lot of places. They follow him in the ordinances. They follow where he follows. They follow where his people. They hear his voice pricked in the heart and follow Christ. And we all are following him at different capacities. Does it mean that if I follow him this way, you've got to follow him exact? You'll follow him the way prescribed in the scriptures. But we'll all follow him. It's like, you know, I've told this illustration because I heard it from Henry. You know, somebody says, well, the Mississippi flows south. Not always. Sometimes it goes east, sometimes it goes west, but it's heading down to the Gulf, and that's where we're heading. Different fruits, different personalities, but all have heard the gospel, not a mimic, not from the hireling. They've heard the gospel, the grace of God, and they want to follow him. To God be the honor. Bruce, would you close us?